preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. We're continuing that interview on the doctrine of regeneration that I recently gave at Covenant Radio.
A discussion with Chris Gordon on the Reformed doctrine of regeneration in part two of our What is Reformed Theology series. Stay tuned to episode 129 of Covenant Radio, October 14th. 2010.
So he's showing us by illustration with Nicodemus that the top of the line in terms of who everyone of the day would have thought would have been a spiritual stalwart, Nicodemus was dead. Mm. And he didn't even see it.
Mm. And so, he points it out so vividly, too, with the illustrations that he gives Nicodemus.
Right. Yeah, and even then Nicodemus doesn't get it, because he recognizes whatever Christ is describing in John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, that's regeneration, unless one is given life in the heart, implanted there by the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't even perceive it. And, it's interesting, whatever Nicodemus understood there, which wasn't much, he didn't have spiritual eyes to understand it. But whatever he did understand, he understood that whatever Jesus was describing was an impossibility. Where's a womb big enough that I could go and get in to get born again? He doesn't get it. His eyes are not opened. He's spiritually dead. What is it? 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them, because he's spiritually discerned. He doesn't have the Spirit. He doesn't have life.
Hmm. Yeah. We could run through so many examples of the Lord uses life and death in this sense to speak about the state of a person. He also uses blindness and sight. Right. In fact, he speaks of himself as fulfilling those prophecies that said, "The blind shall see; they'll receive their sight." John's gospel is so full of these. As you're talking about this, I run back again to his confrontation with the Pharisees, speaking of them as not believing because you're not of my flock, not the other way around, which I remember finding interesting the first time someone actually patiently sat through and taught me, and my own eyes were opened to what the apostle was saying through his construction of that, the whole dialogue. Emphasizing Christ's role as shepherd and the sovereignty of God in assembling that flock. Powerful stuff.
Very powerful, and especially the references that you make to these blind people like Bartimaeus. I mean, here's a guy sitting out, outside the gate because he's, viewed as a sinner because he has some sort of infirmity and sickness, and he's blind. And, these people are telling him to be quiet, and he's the only one calling out Son of David. The whole picture they're given is that the blind one is the one who is given the true eyes to see in the heart. And the multitudes who thought they could see were blind. And you have this repeated over and over, the same situation again. Back in John's Gospel, chapter 9, where Jesus says this very thing. talking about the Pharisees, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains." So he's making those, like this blind man who was healed here, that those who do not see, they may have, by the powerful work of the Lord, they may be able to see their need for Christ and know that he is indeed the Messiah, as opposed to the Pharisees who, you know, thought they saw. And Jesus says, "Well, I didn't come for you then. Those who are well have no need of a physician."
Mm-hmm.
Only those who are sick. So the ability to see your sickness is something that has to be given to you by the Lord. And, you know, it's just tragic today that even among evangelicals, we have people who claim to, you know, be following Christ, and they have no idea of their sin. They have no idea what they really need to be saved from. And just this is just one of the real perils to the modern church and the age we live in with a lack of theological integrity.
Yeah, and this is something that, again, I would commend historically in my own life the work of R.C. Sproul in writing such things as Saved From What, which is this little book on this very issue.
Right.
Do you really see what your need is? And until you see your need, all this churchianity stuff is just no. What is it? It's social. It's a social club.
Right.
If you lack those eyes, let me turn this around just a little bit. So if you need new eyes, if you need God-given eyes to see your sin and to therefore cling to Christ for any hope of salvation, for your salvation, is the converse true? If you've been given those eyes, will you see?
Well, yeah. Once the principle of life is planted there, it's sure to follow through on the fruits of that. There's life given, and because there's life given, going back to John 5, the fruit of that will be an ability to hear the word. Which there's so much emphasis on that. The whole parable of the sower presents all these kinds of hearers. And, you know, the one who has truly been given life will hear the word to the profit of his soul and believe upon the one whom is sent, Jesus Christ, and then have that principle of holiness be the operating drive of his life. You know, I think one other thing to think about, maybe Reformed people are somewhat guilty of this too. We're quick to get on everyone else, but I wonder sometimes if we preach, and we confuse even in preaching law and gospel to the point where we don't recognize that often what is being described in the scriptures are the blessings that God has sovereignly given to people, which we in turn preach as law statements. For instance, the Beatitudes. Are those law or gospel? You know, is God telling us, is Christ telling us there in Matthew 5 that you will be blessed if? Now, it's pretty common to hear Reformed people preach the Beatitudes this way. You will be blessed if you mourn. You will be blessed if you're meek. You know, if you're merciful, then you're going to obtain mercy. And that's not really what's going on in the Beatitudes. This is gospel. Right at the beginning of a sermon that will crush to show the need for Christ. But think of this statement. Blessed, this one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What he's describing there is not you will be blessed if. He's describing there you are blessed if this is true of you. There's a difference. If this has been sovereignly bestowed on you because you've been given life by the Spirit, you are the most blessed man ever. You see? And I promise you, the Lord says, to fill you. So it's a whole different perspective of the sovereign work of the Lord when we are so prone to preach certain passages as law, when what he is describing is the blessing that results from the life that is given to you by the Spirit. And if you look at John 3 carefully, Jesus is not telling Nicodemus to do anything there. He will say whoever believes in John 3, of course, but when he's talking about the new birth, specifically regeneration, the very point of it is this is something the Spirit does, and you can't control the wind. But when that happens, the blessing is you're going to believe, and you're going to be filled. So that answers your question.
Yeah. Well, you keep bringing up things that we started talking about and then we didn't finish on. But
I'm making it hard on your listeners. I had too much coffee before I started. Sorry,
that's all right.
You can be forgiven for that. But
Todd already makes it hard on the listeners anyway.
Thanks. So
they're used to it.
Yeah, but the whole fact that Christ uses the language of being born to describe this process or this event in one's life, and he even goes explicitly there. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't effect your birth. That came from elsewhere. That came from outside of you. And right. So you can't very well say that that Christ is commanding Nicodemus to be born again.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. Right at the beginning of John's gospel, as many as received him. Okay. Well, do we have to receive him? Sure. I have to receive Christ. What is the ability? How do I have the ability to receive Christ? That's the question. And so he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, notice the statement that follows. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that reception is a result that you were born, not of your own will, but of God. So plainly and beautifully stated. And why anyone would rail against this teaching is beyond me. If you understand your sin and your misery and how much you've offended this holy God, this is one of the most beautiful teachings and beautiful things the Lord, wonderful things the Lord has ever done for fallen man, given him life. So,
given him all that he needs.
All that he needs.
Reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we can, I'd like to turn this over. We've sort of fleshed out a lot of the places, and I very much appreciate the continual references to places in the scriptures where this is spoken of, because I think for those of us thinking through this doctrine, it's really important for us to have those places in the Word to encourage us, to teach us, to go back to and meditate on. So you're fulfilling your calling very appropriately in pointing us there. And speaking of that role pastorally, can we talk a little bit about how an appropriate view of regeneration works itself out in your interaction with the sheep of the flock over which you've been placed?
Well, that was part of an interview that I recently gave at Covenant Radio. You can visit at covenantradio.org to listen to the whole of that. We thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and we invite you to join us for worship this Sunday. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.